Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or Pandora. Or head on over to the website AmericaOutLoud.com and check out the articles and podcasts, and please share those on social media. You'll be entertained for countless of hours over at AmericaOutLoud.com with the great articles and podcasts updated daily. So you guys definitely want to go check that out. You know, Rob, last week was loaded with news, and he had Joe Biden have his colonoscopy and health update. I think the only people more uncomfortable than Joe Biden last week were the American people when Kamala Harris briefly became president. I mean, this guy, his health, they say, is good, but that is very hard to believe with his recent track record. Joe Biden has been a complete wreck. And then you also have had the Kyle Rittenhouse jury came down and had a verdict. I think it was a very fair jury. I like the judge. I'm glad how everything came out in the Kyle Rittenhouse case. So that is definitely good news. I'm looking forward to discussing that in great detail tonight. First off, let me go to my co-host, Rob. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, Andrew. Thank all of our listeners for joining us tonight to talk about Joe and his, I don't want to get graphic with it, but his anal picking and Kamala Harris being the president all of like 90 minutes, I think. I'm sure that most Americans were really excited about that. The first Black woman to be president or to hold power for all of 45 or 90 minutes while the president was being poked to make certain that his insides were okay. I understand that they did remove a polyp, something from his colon. So hopefully he will be okay and he'll be able to sit down all right. Now, my biggest concern wasn't that he had to have this procedure, you know, because men of a certain age should always have it done. I think it's 50. You should start having your colon looked at, examined, and including women, just to be on the safe side. My concern, Andrew, was the fact that he was going under anesthesia. And at his age, when you go under anesthesia and you come back, all of your faculties aren't exactly there and you're confused and you're dazed. So I know that it was local anesthesia, so they say, but he turned 79, I think, this weekend. So I don't know if Joe is altogether there. They should definitely watch him. We know that without anesthesia, he's kind of loopy. He's forgetful. He doesn't know if Jill is his wife or his sister, or if his wife is his sister or his sister. He gets confused with his cabinet members, who they are. Sometimes he doesn't know where he's going, what he's talking about. They should definitely look at that, because we don't want this guy who has his finger on the big bomb to accidentally press it, and then boom, there we go. Although I doubt he would do that. If anything, he would probably say, oh, let more illegals in, give them more money, give them millions of dollars, who cares? But that is something to think about. And so let's just keep an eye on old Joe, because you never know what he will do. As for Kamala, you know, we were able to miss that bullet, that she didn't do any harm. She didn't try to gain control and have the army to go in and say, okay, remove him and install me, because I'm sure that's something that she was thinking about. Now, that being said, quiet as is kept, we've got to mention that her communications director just resigned last week. What is all that about? So all of this, that all is okay with the Harris-Biden team, it's not okay. Something is awry for her communications director to resign. And no, it wasn't Simone Sanders, the loudmouth of the South, who's always blah, 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 blah. The same person who said back in 2019 and 2020 that the Democratic Party didn't need any old white men running the party. Lo and behold, Joe was able to schmooze her to get her to join his campaign to help him run for the president. And he's now resident Biden. There's something that's going on there that they're not telling us. And of course, the media knows what's up, but they're keeping it secret. They're just letting a little of it drip out in dribs and drabs, like drip, drip, drip. There's something not right. Kamala's team doesn't like Joe's team. Joe's team doesn't like Kamala's team. And we've also got to look at the fact that this is to be expected. Because, I mean, I was a kid when Reagan was president, but Andrew, Nancy Reagan did not like George Bush or Barbara Bush. She made certain that they were always out of the country on some type of ceremonial duty. And that's pretty much the function of the vice president. I think one of the closest relationships that we've seen was President Trump and Mike Pence. Granted, Mike Pence, you know, let us all down in the end. And not that he didn't overthrow the election, but he didn't fulfill his constitutional duties in saying, we want these states to go back and look at their election, which is under the Constitution is supposed to happen, especially if senators say, hey, we question these votes that come in, that came in. That being said, back to my story, as far as the president versus the VP. So Reagan's team did not get along well with George's folks. So Nancy Reagan always had the Bushes out on some ceremonial duty. Okay, fast forward when we had, I think it was Bush Senior and Dan Quayle. I mean, there was a little friction there as well, because Dan wasn't the sharpest knife in the kitchen drawer. So he was always out and about, he and his wife. Okay, after that, you had the Clintons and the Gore. Now, I think that Bill Clinton can get along easily with anyone. But Hillary, on the other hand, she and Tipper, nope, didn't like each other. So that was friction there. They were always out and about. And who can forget, Gore tried to come in and thought he was going to best George, but Gore wasn't successful. And so you had George Jr. coming in. He was he became the president. And let's see, he and his VP, did they get along? I guess, you know, it was somewhat okay of a relationship. But when you look at this, you see what's happening. I mean, the presidents and the vice presidents, they don't always get along. Now, of course, in our situation, we have a resident and his vice resident, and they're not getting along. And would you expect them to get along, considering that Kamala is on record saying that Joe is a racist? Now, we have all this conversation that's going on as to who's a racist, who's not a racist, who's a white supremacist, who's not a white supremacist. I just found out that Black people can be white supremacists as well, especially if it does not fit the agenda of the left. They will label you a white supremacist. So we should reconsider that word, go back to the dictionary, because these people are forever so quick to go in and change definitions and just change the definition as to who can, who can't be a racist. Because apparently now, if the left doesn't like you, you are a racist. So if you recall back during the election, during the debates, Kamala said that Joe was a racist. And when you look at Joe's background, you look at some of the things that Joe has done, some of the laws that he supported, going back to the 80s and the 90s, he was on the House floor saying that schools would become jungles and that he did not want his kids going to those public schools. Why? Well, because Black kids were going to the schools. He was also instrumental in backing laws that put Black people in jail for committing simple offenses. While he, a white man, using his white privilege, was able to keep white kids like his own Hunter Biden, who has a felony record, should not own a gun, but had a gun, has not been arrested for having a gun, but is out pretending to be an artist, pretending to be a porn star, doing business with the Ukrainians, you're in business with China, illegally. But that's what you call white privilege because of compliments of Joe Biden. He's penalized everyone else with the laws that he supported back in the 90s and the 80s. Laws that inadvertently affected Black people, the Black people that whom he said during the election that if you don't vote for him, you're not Black. And Black people weren't the only people in the crosshairs with Joe. He even made the comments that you can't walk into a 7-Eleven unless you speak with an Indian accent. So all the Asians that are saying, oh, Joe, he's so good and he's so this, he doesn't like you. He could care less. The only thing he likes is your vote. So you've got to wake up and look and see who these people actually are. But because the liberal media controls the mic, they're able to spin and twist and bend and put all this propaganda out there that they want out there about identity politics, who's right and who's wrong, where they're always right. When you look a closer look, and not even, Andrew, a closer look, just look at it on the surface. You don't have to do any digging. Just look at it for what it is, and you will see that these people are liars. Case in point, the story that I know, Andrew, you can't wait to talk about, and neither can I. Kyle Rittenhouse, a white kid, white now, Kenosha, Wisconsin. The summer, spring, summer of 2020. Everything is burning down. Why? Because of George Floyd. Let's be honest, and I've said this before, George Floyd should not have died the way he died. It's most unfortunate. Derek Chauvin, look at what you've brought up on the land. Complete chaos. All you had to do was lift your knee up. Of course, the guy was a criminal. Just lift your knee up. He would still be here. Maybe he would be in jail. But now you've made a martyr out of him. Unfortunately. And look at what the country's having to deal with. So George Floyd, spring, summer of 2020, complete chaos everywhere. Moving on down the line in Kenosha. Blake, Jacob Blake. Another criminal. Wife beater. Well, not a wife beater, but a girlfriend beater. In his van, I think it was, going to see in his van with his children by another woman, going to see an old lover. And I think she had a protective order against him that he could not go see her, decided, okay, I'm going to go see her anyway. And while I'm at it, I'm going to beat the hell out of her. So he goes there to beat her. She calls the police and says, I got a protective order against this guy. He's not supposed to be here. Oh, but he's going anyway. The police arrive. Now, before I finish the story, Andrew, and this is what I don't understand, and these are all Black people. If you think the police are bad, why the heck are you calling the police? If you think the police is not going to be fair, why are you calling the police? I can't figure that out, Andrew. Why would you call the police if you feel that the police is not going to help you? If you think that the police is bad, if you think that the police is racist, why call the police? Call your brother, call your dad, call your neighbor, or call your other boyfriend. Why call the police? Well, I'll tell you why they call the police. Because you're supposed to call the police, and you're looking for the police to scare that person or to remove the problem from where you are. But unfortunately, when the police comes, they become the bad guys. Oh, why did the police come? Well, you called the police, duh. So anyway, he's going in to commence a beating on a former girlfriend. She calls the police arrive. They go to Mr. Blake. Mr. Blake, are you supposed to be here? Oh, screw the police, I can do whatever I want to do. Why does he have that mindset, Andrew? Well, the media has told Black boys, Black men and other men of other races that you don't have to listen to the police. You can do whatever the hell you want to do. The police now, to protect and to serve, the police that we call whenever we're in trouble. They've told these groups, screw the police, do whatever you want to do. Fight the police, shoot the police. We got your back. Oh, well, you got my back when I'm 6 feet under and then my family gets to enjoy some huge settlement. But I'm dead. How does that benefit me? I can't participate in the booty that you guys got, that large millions of dollars. I'm dead. But the only thing you're going to do for me is, we'll put your name out there. We'll give you a statue. Yeah, but I'm dead. It makes no sense. So anyway, Mr. Blake decides, oh, screw the police. I can do what I want to do. And then he proceeds to his vehicle, where he has weapons, I think a knife and probably a gun. The police says, stop. They don't know what he's doing. They can't see him. He's like, screw the police. So with his wife beater t-shirt on, his kids in the car, he's going to proceed to get his weapon. And what happens? What's supposed to happen? The police see a threat. They shoot him. He's still doing it. Stop. They said stop. Oh, no, screw that. No one has said that the police did not tell him to stop. No one has said that. The only thing they're looking at is that, well, the police shot another black man. Well, the way I see it is that another black man wasn't obeying the orders of the police. Oh, well, his kids were in the car. And no one told him to put his kids in the car. Where are the kids' parents, the mother? She should be charged for reckless endangerment of a child, of her children, allowing her children to be in the car with the maniac, allowing her children to be in the car when he's going to put a beating on another lover. And no one has thought to question the woman who's about to be beaten or the mom of the children in the car. Well, I won't say no one has thought to question them, because I'm sure that they've reached out to them to say, hey, do you have a comment? Could you explain what happened? But they're not talking, because if they talk, Andrew, Black Lives Matter will be at their doorsteps and harass them. Domestic terrorists would harass them. So they're not going to say anything. But it is interesting that neither the woman who's about to be beaten or the mother of the children who were in the car are complete silent. They're not saying anything. But Mr. Blake, oh, he's out talking. And when it happened, his mom came out, who seems to be a lovely woman. And what were her comments? I want to know what happened. I don't want any rioting. I don't want any chaos. If my son did something wrong, I want to know about it. And you know what? Once she said that, they silenced her. They took her from the newsreel. No more interviews with her. She seemed to have been, like I said, a lovely, smart woman. But nope, we don't want to hear from her. But Blake's dad, who has a reputation of being a rebel rouser, who has a reputation of rioting in the streets because of George Floyd and Michael Brown. Oh, he's out there front and center, he and his brother. They're out there telling the story as to, oh, poor son, Jason Blake, what they do to our son, not Jason, but Jacob, what did they do to our son, poor guy? Oh, this is so unfortunate. So there he is in the hospital, looking as though he's been injured and, oh, let's play the violin. And his dad and his dad's brother, they're out there. We've got to stop this because police brutality. And they're killing black men. No one has said anything about black men stopping and listening to the police. No one has said anything to black men, stop and live another day. Oh, it's always black men. No one has said that if you look at Arkansas, a white kid got shot by police also. No one has said anything about Ashley Babbitt being shot. No one, no, that's quiet as it's kept. And if you Google white people being shot by police officers, oh, there's a huge list. But no one has said anything about it. Quiet as it's kept, because we want to focus on blacks and whites. No one has said that with Eric Garner, who was killed in New York City, it was involved a black police officer, commanding officer, and a Hispanic. No one has said that, because when you do say it, Andrew, the first thing they'll say is, oh, but wait a minute, it's systemic racism. It has just gotten to their minds. Back to Mr. Blake, in the hospital, in the bed. Finally, he gets out. He can't walk. And then he decides to go on Good Morning America, and Michael Strahan interviews him. And he asks him, did you have a weapon? Were you reaching for a weapon? And what was his response? Yes. Case closed. Bye. You were given directions from the police. You decided to be Superman. So you met your fate. What else is there to talk about? Oh, well, there's more. Because the people in Kenosha decided to riot. We want to tear down things. We want to burn up our neighborhoods. We're going to burn it all up. And then we're going to look and say, help us out. We're going to burn it all up. We're going to riot. We're going to loot. We don't need anything, but we're just going to go inside the stores. And what do the political leaders say? Oh, let them do it. They need to let out their frustration. Yeah, but if you burn down the buildings, if you burn down chains, more than likely, they're not going to come back to your neighborhood. And if they don't come back to your neighborhood, property values go down. Unemployment goes up. Buildings aren't rebuilt. And then your neighborhood becomes slum, little slums, ghettos. And then who do we want to blame? Let's blame the white man because they don't want to live in our neighborhood. Well, why would you want to live in a neighborhood whereby there's complete chaos? Why would you want to live in a neighborhood whereby there's no law and order? I'm a black man. I don't want that. But you want to blame the white man. The white man whom you're constantly going to for a handout. The white man whom you said, oh, they're a racist. Let's be clear. There are white racists out there. There are a lot of people with racist ideas. But you know what else? As I started off saying earlier, there are also black people who are racist, according to the left. So we've got to include it all in there. So let's riot. Let's tear up stuff. We don't care. And we're going to burn it down. So while all of this is happening, the rioting, the looting, the police aren't doing anything because you have the lovely government that's in control by the Democrats. And by the way, they're all white Democrats, liberals, they're woke. They're sitting there and allowing this to happen. Oh, just don't say anything about it. Allowing people to tear down their own neighborhoods. Where were the men? The real men. I need a few good men. Where were they? Well, most of the men, they've all been pumped out, scared. They've been told that you're too toxic, stay inside. While these wild rioters, thugs, hooligans, tear up the city. So what happens? A 17-year-old kid, 17 years old, who has a right to own a gun, to possess a gun, as long as that gun was in the required correct measurements, and his gun did, sees what's happening, and he goes to the city of Kenosha. He lived about, I think, 20 minutes away with his mom, but his dad lived in Kenosha. He had families that lived in Kenosha. He worked in Kenosha. So he sees the chaos. A white kid with his gun, he goes to help. He goes to clean up the neighborhood, to take off the graffiti that they put all over the neighborhood, to help a car dealer protect his cars. And what happens? Thugs descend upon him. Joseph Rosenbaum, Anthony Huber, Gage Grosseritz descend upon him, as well as others. Now we're finding out that there was another black man who was going after him as well. But that was quiet as it was kept. We didn't know about that until after the verdict, which we're going to talk about. But these thugs, Joseph Rosenbaum, 36 years old, had just been released from a Milwaukee hospital after he was treated for trying to commit suicide. Released that day and then out on the streets that night to cause chaos. And you know what else? Convicted sex offender. Molested little boys. 26-year-old Joseph Rosenbaum. No, 36, I'm sorry, 36. No, Anthony Huber, who was 26 and had served stints in the prison for family violence and had apparently tried to choke his brother to death, he was also out there on the streets that night, that fateful night. Gage Grosskreutz, or however he pronounces his name, a medical delivery guy, was out there, armed with a pistol. So these thugs, and they were all white. Okay, they were white. Let's not get it twisted. They were white as well as Kyle Rittenhouse. They descended upon the city to cause chaos. So this kid you have, they're trying to defend and protect, was accosted. Well, no, he wasn't accosted. He was chased. They chased him down like he was an animal, with the intent to kill him, a 17-year-old kid. Grown man, 36, child molester. Maybe he was going to try to molest him. I don't know. Anthony Huber, maybe he was going to try to choke him. I don't know. Gage, maybe he was going to try to pump him up with drugs. I don't know. And we won't know because Joseph is dead, as well as Anthony. after trying to attack this kid, chasing him down like he was an animal. It's unbelievable. That fateful night, dreadful night, a kid doing what men should be doing, serving as protectors. But they didn't do it. They were inside. Like I said, maybe they had been punked out. Maybe the local government controlled by Democrats had said, if you go out, we will arrest you. If you go out, we will put you in jail and we won't even think about it. So you better not go out or we'll throw you in jail just like we did the protesters, not rioters, but the protesters of January 6th. We'll put you in the jail and no one will ever hear from you. So you better stay inside. So you have a 17-year-old white kid, babyface, trying to do a grown man's job. No, I'm not saying he should have been out there. He was 17. This should have been the job of men, the police. But when men can't stand up and do what they need to do, and the police can't do it, someone has to do it. And it's unfortunate that this kid, 17 years old, felt that he had to do what men were supposed to do, and that's be protectors, but they couldn't do it because they had been punked out by these liberal government officials. Shame on you.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Rob. Well said. You guys are tuned in to After Dark with Rob and Andrew, available on America Out Loud via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or download the America Out Loud app to keep track of all the great shows. We'll be back with more After Dark with Rob and Andrew.
I'm Dr. Peter McCullough. If you go to HealthyCell.com, you can check out the technology, the products of HealthyCell. These are very innovative products. They are a form of bionutraceuticals that are bioactive, and they come in a variety of categories. One is daily essentials, which are the bioactive multi and the vegan essentials. And then the next category is performance. And this is the REM sleep supplement. I've talked about it a lot. I think it's very effective and I recommend it for myself and for my family, but as well as my patients. I'm having great luck with this because it is such a terrific product with a blend of, I think, is what's needed for not only promoting sleep, but also getting quality sleep. And when gets quality sleep, then there's restfulness and the next day is better and then the next night is better and it becomes a progressively positive cycle for the human body. And the next product in the performance category is Focus and Recall. Focus and Recall. And I think that is the featured product that is coming into play for those with long COVID and brain fog that develops after COVID-19, the respiratory infection, but also after COVID-19 vaccination. And then finally, the main horse in Healthy Cell is the targeted support of Immune Super Boost. Immune Super Boost. And what we have here is a series of products that really can toe the line for patients who are working their way through the COVID-19 pandemic, either at risk for COVID-19, have had COVID-19 and recovered, are in the post-COVID syndrome, which is now a diagnosis we put in the electronic medical record, and are suffering through a variety of manifestations of post-COVID syndrome. And then lastly, those who are in the throes of vaccine reactions of some sort, whether they be acute serious vaccine reactions or the more common mild prolonged vaccine reactions. We now know the spike protein lasts in the human body after the respiratory infection or after vaccination for up to 15 months. We had this breaking development brought to you on America Out Loud Talk Radio with Dr. Bruce Patterson on a recent episode. So we know this is the case. And so we know if the Wuhan spike protein is in the human body for up to 15 months, it's going to cause damage. It's going to cause inflammation. It's going to set a whole variety of immune responses up, working against our body and potentially damaging cells, tissues, intercellular communication systems, and very importantly, influencing organ function. And here is where we need the maximum defense for the body, the maximum and the most appropriate blend of micronutrients, minerals, as well as vitamins to help the body get through this difficult time. So go to HealthyCell.com and check out the products. And in the promotional code, use the term out loud for 20% off your first purchase. Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio. This is a McCullough Report.
AmericaOutloud.com. Simply put, we're patriots who believe in Ronald Reagan's vision of a shining city on a hill. From sea to shining sea, you can listen in on iHeartRadio. Our free apps are on Apple, Android, or Alexa, or our world-class media player. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
And we're back with Afterthought with Robin Andrew. And before we go to break, I was giving you a replay as to what happened last week or what led us up to the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict. And I was on a roll giving you the background, walking you through the series of events. And I got all the way up to Kyle Rittenhouse being outside and viciously chased down like an animal by these three thugs. Two of them lost their lives. Now, when I was telling the story, I hit a soft spot with Andrew. Now, you and I both know that Andrew and I have difference of opinion when it comes to George Floyd and Derek Chauvin. We both agreed that Derek Chauvin should not have died the way he died. But when it comes to Derek Chauvin, I felt that, you know, he should have been a little bit more smarter and lifted up his knee. Andrew has a different take slightly. Okay, so I want to give him the opportunity to mention that when I get going, it's like non-stopping me. So he pulled my coattail and said, wait a minute. There's something I want to add. So, Andrew, please add it. Go for it.
Well, Rob, as you know, I feel differently about Officer Chauvin, as you mentioned. I thought he did a good job for the situation he's in. We've talked about this before. George Floyd was a big man. Officer Chauvin was not a very big guy. And to have to restrain that guy, he was just in such a tough situation. And it's just a real shame because I do not think George Floyd would have died if he did not have all that fentanyl in his system. I believe that. I will continue to believe that. I feel like Derek Chauvin's lawyers did not do a good job hammering that home. That is the last case. But as for Kyle Rittenhouse, I was thrilled he got a jury, and it felt a good jury, and it felt so good watching his reaction to his innocence. It is a shame that this kid had to ever go through that, but I have a feeling he will be cashing in because these liberals cannot control themselves and what they are saying about this young man. As you know, they've been calling him a racist, a white supremacist, and probably even worse than that. Rittenhouse should have even more defamation and slander cases than Nick Sandman. I think the future is bright for this kid.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Liberals can't control themselves as to the personal attacks upon this kid. This case should have never been brought forth. Clearly, it was self-defense. Now, you will have some who will argue, well, had he been a Black man, we all know he would have been in jail. Well, I would present to you these cases, and you can Google others. Jaleel Stallings, 29, was acquitted of shooting a police officer. Now, hear me out. Jaleel Stallings, 29, a Black man, was acquitted of shooting a police officer just recently. He was acquitted September 3rd, 2021. Now, you may say, what did he do? Well, during the spring, summer of 2020, he was out and about rioting, destroying down property, other people's property. And the police fired these rubber bullets at him, and he returned fire. Had a trial, listened to the evidence, acquitted. So Jaleel Stallings, a 29-year-old Black man, is walking the streets, probably looking for more mischief. Look it up. Jaleel Stallings. The next case, Jabri Kennedy, was acquitted in 2017 of a quadruple shooting. Now, his shooting didn't involve a police officer. It involves family members and friends. Jabri Kennedy, also a Black man. And the list goes on and on and on. But of course, it only matters. It only matters to the left, the woke left, when it involves a police officer and a black man. So you might say, wait a minute. What's going on? What's happening with this Rittenhouse? He's white, and the people that he shot were white. Exactly. Exactly. They see at issue here was the First Amendment, the right to hold a gun, and also the fact that what the left is trying to say is that, wait, this was doing a riot, and he should be able, he should have just, as the prosecutor said, he should have taken that beating, he should have allowed those thugs to beat the heck out of him. But he didn't. He was defending the neighborhood. But they wanted Joseph Rosenbaum to beat the heck out of him. They wanted Anthony Huber, who had a skateboard and is known as a skater, to beat the crap out of him. Maybe Joseph was going to try to molest him. I don't know. But it didn't happen. It did not happen that way, because this kid did what the man should have done in the community, was to stand up. And this would have never happened. He would have never shot them had they not came at him and said, we're going to kill you. The prosecutor's own witnesses, this guy Gage, even said that he was going to try to harm this kid. Now imagine a 17-year-old. They're going to try to harm you. And if you were to go back and look at the video, which the prosecutors were trying to keep and hold back, you would see that they gave the kid a beating. He ran off. Then they pursued him as if though he was an animal and they wanted to slaughter him. He had no choice but to defend himself. Again, maybe he should not have been out there. Maybe he should have been at home and hoped that the men in the community would have stood up against the rioters. But that wasn't the case, unfortunately. It was not the case. So you had a prosecutor who was supported by George Soros and his largesse to bring the case up. Oh, we're going to try this because this is bad. Well, what's bad about it? Two white men lost their lives. White men that the left say are bad. White men who are toxic. So what is their beef? There isn't a beef. They're flipping the script. And you have black people saying, oh, we better make certain that he goes down. What for? A black man didn't lose his life. But see, they don't care because they craftily switched and flipped the script and got you thinking that this was about racism, when in actuality, it was about self-defense, plain and simple. And while this trial is going on, you have the trial taking place in Atlanta of the Aubrey man who was killed by, I think, three white men. That's on trial. No one said anything about it. Quiet as is kept. They're focusing on Kyle Rittenhouse. Now, if they want to protest about that because you have three white men that killed a black man, I could say, okay. But no, we don't want to know about that. We're too busy focusing on Kyle Rittenhouse because we want to make certain that he goes down because he was trying to protect the community while we on the left tried to destroy the community and burn it down. So we're going to focus on him. And forget about the other. Now, who's to say later on they might turn their attention on it? Or maybe they think, well, we know we're going to get our verdict here. We're going to get a guilty verdict of the white man. So we don't have to focus on that. But you see how they pick and choose? They pick and choose what's of importance to them and what's not. So while this trial is going on, Kyle Rittenhouse, and you have all the commentators out saying, oh, this guy, he was a bad guy. He was a thug and he shouldn't have had the gun. He had an illegal gun. That was disproven because he was within his rights to have the gun. Oh, and he killed and he's a white supremacist. Well, how could he be a white supremacist if the people that were killed were two white men? One a child molester, the other a domestic abuser of his own family. And the other guy, probably a cokehead. Why were they out in the streets that night? And then someone said, well, you see, it shows you. If a white man defends the life of a black man, they're going to take him down. Well, they weren't defending the lives of black people. They were destroying and tearing down black neighborhoods, their community. So what are they talking about? Joy Reid and her fake hair. She's out talking nonstop. Oh, this is just horrible, and I can't believe this. Well, you're right. You can't believe it. You can't believe the fact that all of your viciousness and your vitriol and your lies did not sway the jury. Don Lemon, your lies and talking points did not sway the jury. Makari Sellers, your lies and vicious talking points did not sway this jury. Did not sway it at all. When wrong...
I was just going to say, they did not sway the jury, but apparently a lot of these media has swayed public perception. In Portland, apparently they are rioting again after this verdict. So I'm sure they're really concerned what's going on in Portland, Oregon, there in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Doesn't really make much sense, but you know Portland, I guess they're back at it once again.
Well, these people just want something to riot about, plain and simple. That's it. They just want something. They want to tear down things. That's it. That's all they want, to tear down things. And then they'll say, oh, well, we were doing it because of this, and we were doing it because... No, you weren't. Give me a break. Give me a break. Now, and this whole thing with a white can kill a black and get away with it. Let's just go back to Carolina. And I was trying to look for the guy's name. Andrew, maybe you remember it. The white guy who went into the church and killed the parishioners. He got justice. They found him guilty. He's in jail. So this
even what we discussed at the top of this half hour was Derek Chauvin. He's in prison for the rest of his life.
He's in prison. Okay. But again, I'm looking at this case. Oh, here, there it is. Dylan Roof, the Charleston church, a black church. He went in to pray with them. So he says, and then he opened fire and he killed them. Now, some people would say, oh, well, he got off with his life because the police didn't kill him. Well, think about it. When the police told him to stop, and they used some colorful words, he stopped and they arrested him. When you tell a black man to stop, oh, they don't stop. Look at Mr. Blake. He didn't want to stop. And when you don't stop, this is what happens. So Dylan Roof stopped. And the justice system played out, and look at what happened. He's now in jail for the rest of his life. And the family members, I think they're sharing like $85 million. Now, I think that's a bit excessive. I think it's a bit much. All these payouts. It's like, what is the purpose of all these payouts, giving out all this money? Well, what they're trying to do is equity. They're trying to make up for the past wrongs of Democrats during slavery and during segregation. So they're thinking, when something like this happens, we're going to give all these big payouts. Well, I hope Kyle Rittenhouse gets a payout also, just like Nicholas Sandman, because he was slandered by the mainstream media. He was slandered by the president. No, I'm sorry, not the president, but the resident. He was slandered. And they talked against the verdict. They were hoping and praying, Andrew, that this guy would have been found guilty. Had he been found guilty, they would have been celebrating. Oh, hooray, hooray. Never mind the fact that there was misconduct by the prosecutor. Never mind the fact that you had a cub reporter for MSNBC following the juror's bus to find out where they were, to find out where they were going to be dropped off so that he could take pictures of them and then put their pictures out there. And you might say, well, why would he do that? Well, because he wanted the Black Lives Matter and Antifa to go and protest and to threaten them and to terrorize them. And if Merrick Garland, that idiot nincompoop, incompetent attorney general, doesn't see that, who will see it? Well, we will see it after dark with Robin Andrew. People, it is unfortunate, but hear me and hear me clearly. Our Justice Department has been compromised. Compromised by the woke left. Compromised by the man sitting in the White House, claiming to be the president, but he's actually the resident. It has been compromised by all of these left wingers that do not mean any good for this country. The only thing that they're doing is promoting racism and division and segregation, which is what they're doing with critical race theory. They're trying to separate us by colors, by genders. That's what they're doing, separating us, and we have to be woke as they are and realize it. We have got to stop looking at this from a personality standpoint. Well, I don't like President Trump because he tweeted too much, but he spoke truth to power. And when he spoke truth to power, he tried to correct things that were wrong. Whereas the Democrats, they claim that they're speaking truth to power, and all along, they're taking away your rights. They're creating division. They're creating animosity. We can't get along. This trial of Kyle Rittenhouse, the charges should have never been brought. Never, ever. Everyone should have looked at Mr. Blake and said, dude, you screwed up. Move out. Move on. You screwed up. Everyone should look at all these rioters and say, no, we will not have this. This is a civilized country. But yet and still, we allow people like CNN, this losing viewers, MSNBC, President Biden, and all these other talking heads to get out there and just sway our minds. Because if you're weak, and as Andrew says, if you don't stand for something, you will fall for nothing. I said, well, what is the nothing? Well, the nothing is the garbage that they're telling you and you're falling for it. It is nothing. It has no foundation in the truth, but people will believe it. And we must stand against it. We must stand together, united. This is the United States of America. But we have little sections and people that want to divide us. We cannot allow that. Even, like I said, our justice system. You have judges. They're deciding with these woke lefties. Judges, lawyers, and the ones who aren't, they're afraid to say anything. But my hat's off to the judge in this trial who saw through the sham. He saw through the lies, and he called them out. Now, I'm sure the Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and a lot of the other woke folks on the left, they're going to go after him because they're already saying, oh, he's dumb, he's stupid. Now, have they got the verdict that they wanted? Oh, see, this judge, you know, with all what he did, we got the right verdict. For what? For a bunch of lies? I am not going to cry over Joseph Rosenbaum or Anthony Huber. Yes, two lies were gone. But this might be a harsh statement, but they were two lives that were worthless because they weren't doing anything positive or constructive. Joseph Rosenbaum molesting little children, little boys. Anthony attacking his family. Now, Gage Grosskreutz, or whatever he calls himself, I would hope he would go on the straight and narrow, but more than likely he won't.
Yeah, and then, apparently he's already on Twitter commenting on the case and attacking people who've been speaking negatively about him. So I don't think that guy is going on the straight and narrow anytime soon.
Oh, absolutely not. He'll probably keep doing it. And then he'll probably get all these talk show bookings for him to come on and pontificate and lie. Now, tonight, I think, Kyle Rittenhouse is going to be on Tucker Carlson giving an interview.
Yeah.
That's as to what happened.
Quick turnaround for Kyle. I'm surprised he's hitting the media tour already.
Well, I hope that I hope someone advises him because he got off. But if he gets caught up in the moment, he can easily fall down. I mean, I look at Nicholas Sandman. I mean, he's quiet. He got his millions from CNN. Yes, he got millions from CNN and some other news outlets for besmirking him as a person. And the same thing should happen to Kyle. Now, I'm sure that someone is going to convince Joseph and Anthony's family, oh, civil lawsuit, do a civil lawsuit. If he's going to get money, you guys should do a civil lawsuit for wrongful death. And if a judge was worth his jurisprudence, he would say, nope, this is over. I'm going to move this. But of course, like I said, you have some lefty judges that are out there that want to continue this thing going. And for what? Well, because of everything we did to Black people years ago, that is over. And what you're doing now is causing more harm because you're trying to separate the groups. You're trying to put one group above the other. And then if you're successful, years later, we'll be right back where we started from. with the other group saying it's not fair. We have got to accept what happened in the past, happen and move on and correct it. But you can't, because you have liberals who are still doing it. You have liberals that are still picking and choosing sides. You have liberals that are still pushing segregation. You have liberals that are still practicing division and racism, sexism, genderism. That's what it's all about now. Are you the right color? Are you the right gender? You can't be a male and be straight. You have to be a trans male. You have to be a bi male or a pansexual male. Look at all the movies that are coming out. We got a pansexual, we have a bisexual, we have a this, we have a that. I'm not into any of that mess. I'm not saying that it doesn't exist, but at the level that they're saying that it exists, and then you want to disqualify a woman, a biological woman or a biological man in favor of someone who has changed their gender, oh, not their gender, but their sex, because you can't change the gender. You want to change it? And they want us to go along with the crazy parade? You're causing more animosity. Why can't we just all live? Let's say, okay, if you want to mutilate yourself, that's up to you. It's not my business. But to take you over me, preferential treatment, that's just not right. It's wrong. But that's what the left is about, their agenda. And then you have Black people who have fallen for it. It's like, oh yeah, let's go down with the cause. But look at what they're doing to you. They're letting illegals come here, dumping them in your neighborhoods to bring down the property values. And then they're going to say, oh, we're going to cut you a check for almost $500,000. As far as Black people, oh, you just keep doing what you're doing. You see what's happening? And then you got Black people still, oh, let them come, let them come. But what are they doing for you? Yeah. How are they helping your bottom line?
It's infuriating. And back to Judge Schroeder, I thought he did a really good job on the case. I feel like he was fair. At times, I think that he should have just thrown out the case and had a mistrial. Obviously, we were rooting for Kyle to be innocent, so it was very nerve-wracking with how long the jury was taking. I was concerned that Kyle might get off on some of the bigger charges, but still get charged with one of the lesser charges, which would have been 10 years in prison still. I was very nervous there on that last day, Friday, when it was coming down to the wire. The jury still hadn't reached its verdict. Rob, how were you feeling before the verdict came in?
Well, the long period of time of their deliberation, that didn't bother me as much because I felt that they were being methodical. I was saddened by the fact that we had terrorists on the outside screaming at the courthouse, trying to intimidate the judge as well as the jurors to frighten them into getting the verdict that they want. We should not have this in a civilized society. And the fact that the media could not call it out and just say, this is wrong. We need to take a step back. But all of this is just because they don't like President Trump or his supporters. They don't like, they don't like America. Okay, Trump is a byproduct of it. They don't like America. They don't like our values. They don't like the fact that, yeah, we make mistakes, but we try to correct them. We try to correct them judiciously. We have a justice system. They don't like it. They don't like the Constitution. So that was my concern, that our values were on trial here and we succeeded. But that's not to say the next trial we will succeed. Because if you get enough wackadoodles out there, you know, they'll stack all the cards against you. So when the jurors were deliberating for a long period of time, I'm like, no, they're being methodical. And I felt that on Friday, they would render a verdict. And they did. Now, I'm sure that people will still try to find out who they are. And at some point, if they're comfortable, they will probably come out and they'll probably talk to those points. But last week was a week that America won. And people need to accept it, and they need to denounce. They need to denounce the violence of the left, denounce the rhetoric, denounce their propaganda. Well, how do we do it? By calling them out every chance you get. Calling them out, telling them, no, I don't want to hear that. It is wrong. This is not about white supremacy. This is about a white man, a white kid who is protecting himself. He was doing what man should have done, but they could not do it. And these other guys that lost their lives, I mean, after the verdict was given and you had their families out there, saying, oh, this is wrong, this is a miscarriage of justice. I'm like, and you got Black people around this surrounding this. I'm like, oh my, look at how the times change. Now you're taking on their cause as opposed to taking on your own cause. Look at how stupid you look, how dumb you are. And I'm just being frank and straight up. But last week was a week that America won. And I am thankful and I am glad. And if we could all get on the right page and see this for what it really is, and not what the media is trying to say that it is, we would be a whole lot better, Andrew.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And then you look at what's happened recently to this QAnon shaman and what's happened to him in his lengthy prison sentence. 41 months in prison is what he was charged with, in addition to the time that he has served since January 10th when he was arrested. We've talked about this individual before. We think that he's got some mental problems where he is quite possibly a little bit mentally ill. And here you have him being locked up for almost 4 years for just taking a tour through the Capitol. I don't know if I've seen him destroy anything or anything like that. Obviously, he was very colorful with his outfit, but it just shows you where our justice system is when a guy like that can get almost 4 years for walking through the Capitol. Rob, what were your thoughts on the QAnon shaman's sentencing?
Well, I think what's most unfortunate for what he did, he should not have gotten 3 years. Are you serious? It's a bit excessive. But again, it's just a wag the dog tail. They're sending out a signal that we will come after you and we will do the same thing to you if you don't do what we want you to do or think the way we want you to think. I mean, if anything, give the guy a slap on the wrist, give him a fine, let him go his merry little way. But there are people that burn down cities, businesses, during the spring and summer of 2020, and nothing has happened to them. They have gotten off. I mean, I mentioned to you this case about the guy who shot the police officer. He got off. Jaleel Stallings, acquitted. The murderer of David Dorn, are we looking for that? This is just, they're trying to scare people into doing what they want you to do. And there are a lot of others from Jan 6 that are still in jail, have not been able to get out. They're in confinement. Why? What did they do? What is their crime? It's an embarrassment that the justice system failed. And Merrick Garland, thank God he's not on the Supreme Court, because the guy is just as nutty and wacky as the others.
Yeah, well said. Thank you all for joining us tonight on After Dark with Rob and Andrew. Check us out and all the other shows over at AmericaOutloud.com, who just celebrated its 5th anniversary. You can also find us on iHeartRadio Monday through Friday at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, 6 in the West. And you can download the podcast on Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcast. We'll see you guys next time. And remember, stand for something or you will fall for nothing.